This was a bill that basically commended the Susan Komen Foundation for its 20th annual Race for the Cure, which has been renamed the Global Race for the Cure because we're kind of going international in terms of concern for breast cancer. But it was also an opportunity to have a vigorous analysis of where are we in breast cancer research, breast cancer survival rates, the need for mammograms, the need for much more public education about this problem, and the need to certainly make sure that more resources are available in poorer countries so that this issue is addressed. Even though we've made a lot of progress, and the five-year survival rate has gone from, in this 20-year time period, from, say, the 70s into 98%, nonetheless, every minute of every day, a woman dies from breast cancer. It's the largest single source of death among women worldwide.
What inspired you to introduce this bill?
Like you and everyone listening, I've had so many dear friends who've been stricken with breast cancer, most of whom, thank goodness, have survived, but some of whom have not. And, you know, I've been with them through those struggles. And it touches every family. So, you know, in many ways, it's a personal issue as well. And, you know, for them and for my friends and some of my staff members who've been stricken with this issue, I wanted to make a point. And we really worked hard, maybe because we're new in Congress, to get as many co-signatures as we can. We were able to get something like 180 co-patrons, 185. And then I was very pleased with the fact that it passed unanimously.
And it all happens this weekend, right? Everyone's
that's right. The Race for the Cure is this weekend. We're expecting as many as 50,000 people. We're going to be rendezvousing at the National Stadium at the ballpark. I'm sorry, we're going to be starting at the mall and ending up there. And so we're looking forward to the crowd and to making a good effort, raising money for research grants and the like.
So you have a Connolly team out there?
I do. We have something called the Connolly Cruisers. I'm not sure they're going to be wearing pink. I think they're going to be wearing our traditional Connolly blue just to set them apart. But we're in solidarity with those who are wearing pink.
And this ends up, you know, it's amazing how much money the government spends on cancer, and yet it's such a difficult issue to there's no solution. It feels like we've been working on this forever, doesn't
That's
it?
That's right. We've made real headway in diagnosis, early diagnosis, and we've made some real headway in treatment, thus the survival rate improving. But we're not there in terms of a cure. And it is so ubiquitous. I mean, it is something that just, you know, happens. New cases are something like 1.3 million a year. We have got to continue to keep our nose to the grindstone in terms of research, medical research, so that we identify that cure.
Do you think that could maybe translate into good news for places like NIH and HHS and other federal agencies? You know, the National Cancer Institute just up the road in Bethesda.
That's right. Absolutely. I think that would, you know, that's exactly one of the places we want to target with additional resources to sort of redouble our efforts in this endeavor.
While we have you on the phone, can we ask you one other sort of unrelated but related question?
Of course.
You've been in this job for 6 months now. How are you liking?
I like it better every day. I really like it. I do miss local government because it's a wonderful level of government where, you know, you've got to deliver every day of the week for your constituents, and they know it if you haven't. So there's lots of accountability in local government. But here, you know, in the Congress, you also get an opportunity to try to address the issues that certainly bedeviled me as a local government official, you know, the dysfunctionality of the federal government. You know, the quintessential example of which was, you know, the FEMA response to Katrina. So being able to try to do something about that and actually address those issues is really very gratifying. And then, you know, international and national issues, the economy, the war in Iraq, the Middle East, I'm on committees that address all of those issues or allow me to address all those issues, and that's also a wonderful opportunity. And of course, you're coming into Congress with, you know, this historic president, Barack Obama, and that's a great privilege. And so the partnership, you know, working with him And I guess one other thing, you know, representing the district I do, you know, the opportunity to be an advocate for federal employees, you know, I think I've introduced or co-sponsored probably now we're approaching like a dozen bills that affect the federal workforce. And that's also very gratifying.
It has to be, although sometimes a little bit surreal. There's a big the smoking bill going through about regulating smoking, and there's also, of course, all sorts of federal provisions attached to that. As somebody who came from local government, when Congress works that way, has to be almost a little head scratching.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, but a lot of important issues for federal employees that help them do their jobs better in front of you guys right now.
And, you know, again, when you can act on an idea, introduce legislation to, you know, further that idea, and to get it adopted into a bill or as a bill freestanding in its own right, you know, is really what this legislative process is all about. And so being able to do that on behalf of the federal workforce, for example, whether it was telework or pay equity or premium conversion or FERS redeposit, you know, all of those issues, I've had an opportunity to legislate already in the first 6 months. So I like that. I like keeping busy, and I like keeping active, and I like trying to find solutions to problems.